And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Mantra Meditation Hour on CITR 101.9 FM with your congenial host, Raghunath.
Welcome to today's show. You're listening to Mantra on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Raghunath and I will be here for the next hour playing various music and interviews. Today we're going to be hearing from two artists that will be appearing at the upcoming Shakti Fest festival in a week or so's time. Namely, we're going to be hearing first from Sukadev and Akka Jackson, otherwise known as Ikana. And we're also later in the show going to be hearing from Vijay of the Kirtaniyas. And we also did an interview with Jai Uttal yesterday, which will be appearing on next week's show because it's kind of a long interview with lots of stuff, and he also has lots of great music. We can make a whole hour out of that. So we're going to kick things off with Ikana, and quite a few interview segments along with some songs. It'll be about half an hour or so, and then we'll be back before we go into the segment with the Kirtaniyas. Hope you're doing well. You're listening to Mantra on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Here's Ikana.
Is that the right way to pronounce it? Ikana?
Ikana.
Ikana, so it's a long A. Ikana.
Ikana.
So what is the origin of the name and what does that mean to you?
It's an Aramaic word. We discovered it when we started learning how to recite the Lord's Prayer in the language that the great teacher, Jesus Christ, spoke, right? So in investigating that language, we discovered the Lord's Prayer. And it's in it's in a couple of lines, but the particular line that touched us is the fourth line. Mechoi Sivyana Kaikana the Bushmaya Af Ba'ara. So thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. And Ikana is literally, when you read it, it's said to mean just as. But there's a transliteration or metaphysical meaning like this connection, this, you know, this link that says, you know, there's a way things are done in heaven by the Creator and they shall be done on earth in the same way. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, you know, for us, it meant, how will that show up? How will heaven show up on earth? What is the Ikana? What is that? And it touched our hearts because literally it, for us it meant that it's us. We're the ones that are going to allow the order of heaven to show up on earth so that we can experience that. And so that's what it means to us, that we are the link between heaven and earth.
And also, we've been reciting that prayer since you taught it to me, like, I guess, around 2002. And it was just something that Akka would have us do in the morning when we got up, was to do this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, which when you really read and get into the meaning of it, it is so far removed from the English translation of it. So much deeper, and it's so beautiful, and it really has permeated every cell of my being. I think I've been reciting that every single day for, wow, maybe over 10 years now. And so when in 2009 we were faced with this sort of calling, which I kind of was such an organic happening, we never decided, like, oh wow, let's do devotional music, let's do, you know, devotional music group. It's just something that we fell into. It was like, called into. It was really such an organic name that came about. So it was really perfect, yeah, from that place as well.
Abundo Bashmaya, Netkare Shemach, Tete Malukuta, Nehwe Siviana Kaikana, the Bashmaya of Ba'ara, Havlan Lakma, the Sun Kananyamana, Washbuklan Haubain Waktahain, Aikana Dafkanan, Shwakanal Hayabain, Waila Taklan Linishuna, Eila Pasan Min Bisha, Betulilah. Kimalkuta, Haila Wateshbukta, Loelam, Almin, Amen.
O Bertha, Father, Mother of the Cosmos, focus your light within us, make it useful. Create your reign of unity now, your one desire then acts with us. Grant what we need each day in bread. Loose the cords of mistake binding us as we release the strands we hold of others' guilt. Don't let surface things delude us, but free us from what holds us back. From you is born all ruling will, the power and the life to do, the song that beautifies all. From age to age it renews. Truly. Power to these statements. May they be the ground from which all my actions grow. Sivyanik Arkana, the Bashmaya of Ba'ara, Havlan Lakma, the Sunkanam Yamana, Washtuklan Haubain Wakdehain, Aikana Dovkanan Shwakalahai Bain, Waila Taklan in Ishuna, Ela Pansam Mimisha, Matuli Laki Malkuta, Wahala Teshbukta, Lo Alam.
Watashbukta. Lilahe Malkuta. Wahaila Fatesh Bukta.
Most of what comes through and winds up being offered on these CDs is, you know, our life goes through these phases every year. And you know, it's been such a part of our life. And for both of us, music has been a life savior, right? As well as giving us a sense of purpose that keeps us focused from day to day. You know, as I call the body the spacesuit. And when the spacesuit has this information recorded from experiences of the past, and some of those recordings dish out tapes that are far away from being supportive to what we vision to do with our day or our life. And these prayers, these mantras, the technology of Kundalini Yoga, technology of yoga, technology of sound has been a deep, deep lighthouse for us. It's been navigational equipment. It's been a technology that has literally kept us sane,
yeah.
You know, and peace, yeah. Giving us peace in our heart when the spacesuit is trying to say things are chaotic, things are not working out. Things, what's wrong with you? What's going on with you? Well, what's going on with you? You know, it's like, something's wrong. You know, so it's like that keeps us focused on what's real.
So how did you come into contact with Kundalini Yoga?
I came in through actually Akka. I met Akka in 99, and I had then I was a couple of years later, I met him very briefly in 99, a couple of years later I was putting together like a 9-piece hip-hop band, because that was the background that I was coming from, being in Europe, also growing up in London. You know, and all of that, and then he came in as a percussionist after much reluctance, but eventually came in, and I discovered through the process and our friendship that he was a healer, and he was a third generation medicine man, and my life was chaotic and really just in a place I was getting close to hitting rock bottom, and I begun to work with him. And fully trusting him on this journey, and he started, you know, feeding me herbs, and he started me, you know, showing me different energy medicines. And one of the main themes that he brought into our sessions was Kundalini Yoga. And he gave me a set, which was a Kundalini Yoga Kriya, and he gave me a mantra, and he said, and I had to go to England to sort out some visa stuff, and he said to me, you're gonna do this for 40 days, every single day. This is your homework. And I was like, okay, like just ready to do anything. And I did that for 40 days by myself. And I had an awakening. Something happened to me with the mantra, with the Kriya. And from that place, God, I went really high. And I actually had an awakening. And then he wasn't around. I had no teacher, no community. And I crashed even harder than I had crashed before. And so when I came back to the States, I just straight from the airport went to him, knocked on his door, and I was like, I'll do anything, please, like, show me, like, what there is to do, like, you know, like, teach me. And so from that place, he continued to teach me, and I started moving into the Kundalini community in Los Angeles, and before I knew it, like, a couple of months later, I was in teacher training, and I became a teacher, you know, a year later, and the mantras and everything and the practice, it just like, you know, it just calls you, and you come home and you're just like, wow, this is home. This is, I'm speaking to my soul. This is the first time I can actually hear my soul. This is the first time I'm feeling peace in my heart. And I've been a musician since I was 16, and to suddenly have you know, this these ancient words and prayers that I really didn't know much about, that I began to study, but something opened up in me, and it just felt like, okay, this is what's happening. And and there is such a supportive community in Los Angeles. It's like you quickly find yourself at home, you know. So that was that for me.
Yeah, I was introduced to it by a friend, a fellow herbalist, and I was training as a healing minister, which involved, you know, herbal formulation and spiritual counseling, and there was a colleague who was studying with the same teacher, and she invited me to a Kundalini yoga class. She had been talking about it for a good 10 years, so I finally said, okay, let's go see what this is all about. But in my mind, I had, you know, like maybe some crazy kind of tantra, or I didn't know what to expect, you know. And when I got there, particularly the end of the class, is when Guru Singh, it was a Guru Singh class at Yoga West, and he took out his guitar and started playing music. And that blew me away, because I was involved in the medicine music project the first time, to just figure out, what is music for? What is it about? Because it did something for me, like I was telling you earlier. And then here he is pulling out his guitar and the music. And right after class, I went up to him. I said, do you mind if I bring my conga and play with you next time I come? He said, sure. Come on, bring it on. And then from there on, you know, I was hooked. It was the music that drew me in.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, for me too. Just to close that off, now that he says that, I remember he gave me a CD, a Kundalini Yoga Mantra CD, when I went to England, and I listened to that for 40 days, and then I came back, and Guru Singh, you know, who's been a huge part of our journey, Reno always egging me on to sing and come and sing with him, and so he really, you know, the music, I fell in love with the music before I ever got to a Kundalini Yoga class. Atta Mandir and Sada Satkar and all these people in Sanadam, you know, Mirabai Seba, all these people, you know, in the Kundalini music world, really, yeah, they really opened the door for that for us. Thank you.
So chanting a mantra by yourself versus music and being in a community.
Mm-hmm. And bringing in that musical aspect as well that you were talking about.
Yeah, you know, it's all about vibration. Chanting by yourself has its benefits, but when you begin to synchronize with other hearts, when you think about the first instrument, being the heart and the first organ that comes online in the body as far as when the nervous system develops, and the current, the life current, right, which is the same as sound, which is considered a sound current, right? So it's flowing from the source. The heart comes online, so it's generating a sound. So when you bring other hearts together, right, there is a synchronicity that gets established in such a way that you really join a collective consciousness. Mm. And that collective consciousness has this resonant quality with the universe that is expanded. But because we're all using our consciousness to focus with the same intent, then that creates, you know, a frequency, an atmosphere, a force field, if you will. And that really connects to this aspect, if you think from quantum physics, the unified field. And we're chanting, let's say it's a Waheguru mantra, which is about connecting to that divine intelligence that is so indescribable that it can line us up with the truth of who we are, so we can experience our radiant self, our infinite self, you know, the truth of who we are, and actualize that in our life, right? So let's say if we're all chanting that Waheguru chant, if we're doing it together, and we're accessing more of this unified field's intelligence, you know, we're accessing more of what the universe has to offer us than if it was us on our own. You know, and then this helps to purify our mind, you know, so that the subconscious mind with all of its stored information from that spacesuit, like we talked earlier, that may be, you know, not in alignment with our truth, you get a chance to line that up together, bathe in this frequency together, you know, and that harmony from the melody of the music also adds to that frequency. Our individual sound currents that come from us that are unique, and joining that as a oneness. And now you add all of that in the mix, and it's just a supreme alchemy,
yeah,
of transformation into experiencing our truth. Yeah.
You know, these festivals for me are really the experience of that, you know, of that group consciousness, especially in such large groups. I remember being at Bhakti Fest and I was watching Deva Pramar and Mitten, and I'd seen them a few times before, but there was something, and I decided this one time not to be on the outskirts chatting with my friends. I was like, I'm going to go right in the middle, right up front. I'm going to sit down. I went by myself and I sat down. And I just really took it in, and it moved me so much. I just began to weep, and I just was like, wow, like how beautiful. There's something about that energy, especially when you get in the group consciousness, that if you just allow the heart, if you just allow it to soften a little bit, you will feel it. You will feel the vibration. You will feel an opening. You will feel a release. You will feel whatever you really need to tend to, you know. And we've all been brought up with such like a lot of disruptive music, you know, that hasn't been kind to the soul, really. That's been all about wanting more, doing more, being more, you know. And it just, especially me coming from sort of a hip-hop R&B background, it's like this is like hot, real hot centered, you know. And some of the really good hip-hop and R&B that I used to listen to is all about that too. It just comes with different words, you know.
Om Namo Guru Dev Namo, Om Namo Guru Dev.
something that's seeing like a resurgence, you know, a resurgence of this sense that it's important that we connect around something that nourishes all of us, you know, physical and non-physical. We think about the earth and we think about us living on this earth together and how we're going to be able to take care of it. These festivals that are sprouting up in the communities that they are serving, they're really bringing this sense that if it's going to happen, this harmony on the planet, providing for the children, providing for the elders, taking care of our planet, sustainability, growing our food consciously, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen through us. And these are the festivals that, again, talk about that technology and putting that sound current out, because, you know, as it said, in the beginning was the word, and the word is sound. So these, you know, particularly with the format that Sridhar has brought forth, you know, of the 24-hour, you know, sound current just constantly flowing, you know, it's a unique format, you know, and it's something to be experienced, you know, be in the mystical place of Joshua Tree for one, right? And then to have this current that is flowing, and then on top of this music that's flowing with these incredible melodies that move your heart, heal your heart, bring peace to your mind, and open you up to the possibility that each of us can participate in, right? Because sometimes entertainment has you see the possibility, but you see another person, and you have to stretch your mind to see how you can participate in this idea that you see being presented before you. But when you come to something like Shakti Fest and Bhakti Fest, you are actually, in Satnam Fest and all the ones that are out there, you're actually able to participate, whether you're doing your yoga or whether you're able to chant and use your voice, let your voice radiate out into the creation, you know what I mean? So that change can take place. Like, you're absolutely being the change, like Gandhi said, and you can participate in that way. And be with other people that are on the path. Talk about what you discovered about yourself. Talk about your challenges. You know, hug, cry together, dance together. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole spectrum of life, can a solution can be brought to it. You know, and you could be a part of that. You know, it's real tangible. And support the people that are putting conscious products out there, you know, because of the vendors that come. And so, and you know, and the people that are bringing in the sustainable foods and supporting, you know, local agriculture. So, you know, these functions are becoming a sustainable hub for really bringing the education about this new age and what we're going to need to embrace in order to establish harmony for all of us on this planet. So I think it's a real revolution. I saw a coffee book about the history of festivals, right? And, you know, and it had the Woodstocks back, you know, in the late 50s and early 60s. And now it's like this, they recorded like this resurgence that's taking place where people are longing to connect with each other in the midst of this technology that is creating this, you know, artificial realm for us to connect to. They're also saying that people, you know, it's something about our heart. You know, if you ever go to the Heart Math Institute's website, they'll talk about this discovery of our heart and its information that it generates, what it deciphers, you know. It's something about that heart that needs to connect heart to heart. And so these festivals are really bringing that opportunity. So we're grateful to be a part of it, that's for sure.
you going to be at this year?
Well, we'll be at Shakti Fest.
Then there's the Kundalini Yoga celebration for summer solstice. We'll be participating in that in Española, New Mexico.
That's in June 20th to the 28th.
Yeah, somewhere around there. On the 19th, 20th.
Yeah, and then Shakti Fest, which is May 17th to the 20th, something like that, right?
Yeah.
And then we just came back from Satnam Fest, which was amazing, and that was that's always in April, around mid-April.
And then we have some tour dates coming up. We just came from Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
Where do people go to find out more about Aikana?
Our website, which is aikana.com, aikana.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can find us there and on Facebook. We're always on Facebook. And
that was Sukhdev and Aka Jackson, aka Aikana, with some interview segments and some songs. We're going to get right into the next part because we're short on, we're trying to cram a lot into this hour. We have an interview with Vijay Krishna of the Kirtaniyas, along with some songs by the Kirtaniyas. And so we're going to get right into that. The Kirtaniyas, a four-piece Kirtan band consisting of Vijay Sarasvati, his wife, Rasika and Nitai. And you're going to hear a little bit more about them. They're all coming from a background in the practice of Bhakti Yoga, coming from families and from that tradition also. So we're just going to start off with a segment where Vijay is talking about how it was that the Kirtaniyas came together. Listen to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. The show's called Mantra.
Kirtan is just the absolute epitome of, you know, devotional expression. So, you know, Kirtan is actually at the very forefront of our culture and our philosophy. Growing up as kids, you know, that was just the, for me, you know, I grew up not so much in a deep devotee community or a Krishna community or bhakti yogi community. I spent 5 days a week going to school, waiting for the Sunday program to come where I could be in the kirtan. I'd like literally tapping mridanga beats, drum beats on my knees the whole time, humming kirtan tunes, and spending the whole week waiting for Sunday when I'd be in the kirtan. You know, and I made that my life's thing. I mean, my guru, you know, his first original order to me was always be in the kirtan, and you know, it's complete second nature to me. I mean, that's all I know. That I didn't want to compromise my deepest, most strongest desire with, you know, by doing something else that wasn't going to fulfill me. And kirtan is an absolute, it's what fulfills me, essentially. And practically, what happened was that, you know, I'd been traveling with my guru for years and years, following him and other swamis around the world, just doing, you know, simple kirtan, sometimes leading. I was actually a drummer, mridanga player. And then I was inspired by a friend of mine called Christian Mills, who's the son of Hayley Mills, actually. He's a rock star in the UK from a band called The Cook, from Kula Shaker. He's my godbrother, and he inspired me. He gave me the idea that, hey, man, have you ever thought about presenting, you know, this beautiful Vrindavan music, this beautiful bhakti yoga, you know, culture that's such a rich culture in India. Have you ever thought about maybe making a show out of it or putting on some kind of performance? And that was the first idea that I had. And then sometime later, I thought, hey, you know what, I want to make a band. So I call around some of my favorite kirtan peers in the Christian movement. I made a few phone calls. You know, I was in the UK at the time. I just finished touring in Italy, and I called my friend Raska. Hey, Raska, I think we're putting a band together. Are you interested in traveling the world and singing kirtan everywhere? And I did the same with Nita, who was in Hawaii at the time, and my wife was with me. She's from Germany. And there it manifested, and we've been trailblazing ever since.
It's like you're in a core family,
but absolutely.
When you kind of go outside of that and then you're interacting with at a festival with so many wonderful souls with such diversity, what is that experience like for you?
Well, I've really tried to adapt our kirtan, style. I mean, the varieties of kirtan that really we can do. I mean, especially myself, who just made it my life thing to just gather as many different awesome kirtan tunes and presentation that basically we could be put in any format, more or less any format, including a festival or a place where people have never chanted kirtan before, or a place with really well-seasoned kirtan communities, like here in the yoga scene here is very good in LA, and you know, we can just pop out any more complicated tunes and stuff like that, and you know, it's really about adapting and considering your audience, considering who you're singing with. And obviously we try to really reduce those barriers of performer and an audience. We try to make it a bit of a much more of a community, much more intimate. Obviously people in the West are used to a particular format of going to see a show or performance. Therefore we sit facing the crowd instead of the way we've grown up, and the way I like to do is everybody sit facing an altar, everybody's sitting with that equality, and when I go to the temple I sing one way, and when I'm in the yoga studio I sing another way, when I'm at a electronic music festival I sing another way. So I try to adapt wherever I am, wherever we are.
You're touring with DJ Drez and Sri Kyle.
Yeah.
And DJ Soul Rising, I think, as well.
Yeah, that's right.
So what's that experience like, sort of having that more of that electronic beat, that more of an emphasis on dance and movement, maybe, mm-hmm. than just on the voice or on chanting?
Well, when I originally put together the Kirtaniyas, I always considered that I want to be able to present on the far... right wing, in a sense of just absolute roots kirtan. We are, as far as I know, I'm aware, you know, the closest to old school kirtan as you can possibly get. Yeah, on the other, you know, it's harmonium and tabla. Sometimes we don't even use harmonium. We just use like mridanga and kartal. We just use like these two or three instruments and just sing. And then on the other extreme, we have like, you know, the absolute most new school kirtan that I've seen, you know, we're playing kirtan and mantras along to contemporary EDM, electronic dance music, especially with genres such as dubstep and electro house and some of these really, like, really specific stuff down to like IDM, intelligent dance music. And it's definitely with a lot more emphasis on dance, I'd say, but it had a lot to do with us being able to adapt to festivals like Burning Man, Lightning in a Bottle, which we're playing at this year, by the way. Symbiosis Festival we're getting booked for. We're playing in all the kind of places that you wouldn't really see kirtan or mantras being chanted, and that was a big part of the adaptation of having an electronic set as well as an acoustic set. Was that we can just like we can widen the horizon, you know, beyond our little temples, beyond the little, you know, niche within a niche. Yoga kirtan community within a small yoga community, and widen it like so much more, widen it like 1,000 times fold, and be singing and chanting and dancing with people our own age. That's a big part of it for me, to be able to share this, the bliss of mantra chanting as a natural all high no low experience, with people my own age, there's a special energy with that. You know, so many of our tours will go to San Francisco, and you know, 70% of the audience could be our father or even grandparents.
Yeah.
That's okay. You know, I'm okay being almost a teenager talking to people three times my age about spirituality and chanting. I'm okay with that. But you know what? There's a special joy in chatting with people my own age.
Right.
And this is really just sugarcoating the experience, you know?
Right. Being with your Sangha and having that experience of, like, in India, for example.
I say that my experiences, especially in Vrindavan and other devotional lands in India, especially like Navadvip, Mayapur, are really, I wouldn't have the inspiration to, in my spiritual life, and therefore my life as a traveling kirtan musician, I wouldn't have that experience, I wouldn't have that enthusiasm had I not had experienced the depths of devotion presented in Vrindavan. Especially my guru was a very strong ambassador of Braj. Braj is the culture, or Vrindavan culture. And, you know, going from temple to temple and experiencing such a variety of devotion to the same deity, to Krishna, essentially, and Radha. Actually, the secret, the well-known secret in Vrindavan is that actually it's all about Radha. It's all about Radhe. And my guru was that. He was really taking it to the zone of the goddess, the supreme goddess Radha, through chanting her name and, you know, experiencing things, you know, some of the most powerful, deepest, heartfelt kirtan I've ever experienced wasn't with a harmonium, with a microphone, but, you know, with someone wearing a nice fancy shirt, you know, and, you know, makeup. This person, you know, would have been maybe a widow or an old man with no teeth, singing on the side of the street in Vrindavan, singing Krishna's name, singing the names of the divine on the side of the street, feeling such depth, such amazing depth, and knowing that actually really that's what it's about, you know, and especially, you know, through training from my guru, that it's not singing. You know, I asked him, one of the last questions I asked him before he left this world was, with what mood should we chant kirtan? And he said, not with the mood, look at me, I'm a very great singer, everybody should listen to me and my tunes, but rather with the mood of the saints and the seers and the great devotees, sing with their mood. And I have practical experience, you know, that I, you know, through witnessing and maybe even myself some in the past of singing me on the harmonium, like singing with that projection of like, look at me and like this kind of mood, that actually singing in much more of a selfless state, much more of a selfless state from the heart, really deep and actually with even more humility, you know, that even the people in the crowd that come in, you know, you have to sing with more humility than anyone, that is where the essence and that is where the power and the deep devotional bhavs are experienced. And that is what I've learned in my travels, going to India and Vrindavan under the guidance of my guru. Mantras, beats, and bass tour that we're launching starts tomorrow in San Diego at the World Beat Center, and then we have we go to Palm Springs on Saturday. On Sunday, then we go to we come to LA, Santa Monica Bhakti Yoga Shala. Next weekend, we go up north. We play in Santa Cruz, Nevada City, and then San Francisco, and we're essentially launching this new experience called Mantras, Beats and Bass when I was trying to get together with an idea of what to call this joint tour with this collaboration between three or four artists. I was thinking, what should I call it? Oh, Mantras, Beats and Bass. So what a great name. Then he was like, hang on a minute. This sounds great. I went and bought the domain right away, got the domain, got the Twitter, got the Facebook, and now it's actually essentially going to be a bit of a presentation in the future. I'll put on Mantras, Beats, Bass, maybe all over the world. I'll put on these events of, synthesized kirtan and electronic music. We actually have 3.5 albums in the works right now. First of all is, our electronic album, our first album is going to be called Bass Mantra. And that will be coming out late summer. That will be a presentation of all different tunes and melodies rendered in an electronic way, which is really exciting. We have a bunch of really cool people featured on that too. But we do have, I've now put on the front burner, so to speak, a more of a priority to work with our next acoustic, our traditional album. It's called Live at Rudramandir, and it's going to be produced by Shebi Seba.
Nice.
Which is really awesome. He is, as far as I'm concerned, the godfather of world beat music. And it's pretty much just settled today. He's taking up the production, and that's going to be definitely something we're pushing. Our fans are definitely used to that acoustic thing, and that's my next offering for sure. You know, his album Sri Durga was the that point that I believed, you know, that gave me faith that bringing the Indian, the best, the most deep, amazing presentation of India, bringing it in a Western, kind of a Western format. And that album, Sri Durga, I don't know if you've heard it, but it's absolutely phenomenal. And it changed everything for me. That was the album that instigated our electronic project, really. And just his sensitivity, his mood, and this state that he is in now, I can tell you from having many conversations with him and being closely connected to him the last few months. He's in a very, very amazing deep space, obviously dealing with his health, and it's amazing. It's just phenomenal. It's an amazing blessing.
Well, that was Vijay Krishna of the Kirtaniyas with some words about a variety of different things, including talking about upcoming festivals. We first heard from Ikana earlier in the show, and both Ikana and the Kirtaniyas will be at the Shakti Fest Yoga Kirtan Festival, which is going to be happening in a few days' time. It's from May 17th to 19th at in Joshua Tree, California, a very beautiful place, one of my most favorite places on this planet. And more information about that festival, there's going to be lots of amazing folks performing, attending. Lots of stuff going on. More information, bhaktifest.com will also take you to the page for Shakti Fest. And next week we're going to be hearing also from Jai Uttal with an interview we did yesterday with him, which will be a whole 1-hour show. I'd like to thank Ekana and Vijay for taking the time out for these interviews. More information about Ikana and their music is at ikana.com. That's A-Y-K-A-N-N-A. A-Y-K-A-N-N-A. Ikana.com. And more information about Vijay and the Kirtaniyas can be found at kirtaniyas.com. That's K-I-R-T-A-N kirtanias.com. I'm not sure why that was so difficult, but it really felt very difficult. And some final announcements before the last track, which is also going to be by the Kirtaneers. I should announce that this Saturday in Vancouver will be Enchant Kirtan Gathering. That's at Unity Yoga and Tea House, which is at East 10th and Commercial Drive in Vancouver. That starts at 6 p.m. and is by donation. It's a couple of hours of kirtan and bhakti culture and also some vegetarian food. And then also the Bloom series, a documentary series made by my good friend Jeep K and others working on that, and also others working on presenting that at Emily Carr on next Friday. It's not this Friday, it's a Friday the 17th, I think it's the 17th, and that's going to be in the evening. You can Google Bloom Transformational Festivals. I think the website is thebloomseries.com. So that's next Friday, the 17th of May at Emily Carr University in Vancouver. And I think it's probably going to be around $10. This is the second part in this series, the first series. And then what else do we have? I think that's about it for announcements. I am going to play a couple of public service announcements right now, and then we'll be back to cap off the show.
Nothing sexier than voting on a hot summer day. Be sure to vote in the 40th Provincial General Election, Tuesday, May 14th. For more information, go to elections.bc.ca.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the West End at
212 Productions Limited, The Baker and the Chef, Bang on T-shirts, Bistrude Records, Dream Apparel and Articles for People, Dunleavy Snack Bar, The Fall Tattoon, Fortune Sound Club, Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinematic, Perch, Project Space, Scratch Records, Vinyl Records, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
So the last track is going to be another track by the Kirtaneers. This one sung by Sarasvati, and the track called Gopi Lullaby from Heart and Soul from 2011. Thanks for joining me today. This song is, it's in Sanskrit. It's some verses sung by the gopis to Krishna. Songs of love sung to the beloved. We'll be back next week. As you mentioned, on the internet, mantraradio.co, you can check out all the previous shows are on their archive. Also, you can send us feedback. We'll be back next week, 4 to 5, here on CATR on next Thursday. for the Jerry Utal interview special. Thanks for joining me today. See you next week. Take care of yourself. Until then, here's the Kirtanis with Gopi Lullaby. Namaste.
Chapa Kinchati.